Okay, welcome everybody to episode 44 of To The Rink Podcast, episode 44. Puff, who's 44?
Well, we got to go with 44 on the Toronto Maple Leafs, Morgan Riley. We need him to get going because the Buds are down 2-1 as we tape this. And last year, he was a big factor in the NHL playoffs, and thus far, he's not really been playing great. So we need him to get going.
Yeah, and I agree.
Speaking of 44, a little research on the GTHL website, there are 44 GTHL alumni who are taking part in the playoffs. The most well-represented team, who do you think?
Von Kings. Stoffs Von
No,
Kings.
No.
NHL team?
Yeah.
Oilers.
That is correct. That was from also an earlier podcast.
Yes, eight.
We had Dan Rosen on.
Yeah, yep, eight out of 44. That's like, what, I don't know, 1/8?
Yeah,
no, it's no, 1/5. Sorry, that's like 1/5.
There's math. There's math. but almost half their team.
Is from the G.
Almost half their team, which is pretty crazy. And then Dallas Stars are second. They have 7 GTHL alumni. The Maple Leafs have 5. Only 2 of the 16 teams do not have a GTHL alumni on their roster. Can you name them?
Okay, well, I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to go with the Capitals.
Nope. They have.
My other guess was going to be the Preds, Nashville Predators.
Nope, they also do.
I am 0-2.
Angeles Kings.
Yes.
And the Boston Bruins.
Ah, the Bruins, yeah.
Yeah, not surprising. Another reason to hate the Bruins.
Agreed. Okay. Well, episode 44, we're on our second last episode of the season, Puff. This is actually going to be our very last episode where we do the rankings and updates and all that. So,
yeah, we talk about stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So been a good run on this one. And we'll do one more episode of the interview later this weekend that will come out next week. And then that's it. That's season one said and done.
So, well, pretty big accomplishment, though. We're going to get to, 45 episodes? That's pretty pretty good feat by us.
Pretty good, yeah. Not bad. So, So it's been great. Last week, or earlier this week, we had Mossy and Kale on from the single-A Ted Reeve Thunder, U15. Yep. Hopefully U16 if they make the tryouts next week.
Yeah.
Good interview with them, but that was good. But what are the differences from this episode to a lot of the previous episodes that we've had, Puff, is that we're recording in the day.
Yes, that is true.
We never record in the day.
No.
We always do this at night.
It's a weekday. Well, one, we always have to do it at night is usually because of hockey.
Right. And work.
Mostly hockey for me.
Mostly hockey. So, yeah, me too these days.
I am available during the day.
Oddly, I am too right now. So we're recording in the day. Usually we're doing this Wednesdays at 10 o'clock at night. That's our time.
Yes, that's our usual time.
It's nice to see you today.
Yeah, it's nice. Sunshine. This is spring hockey weather. I have to admit that we haven't done spring hockey with the boys for a while, although they did do some like 3-on-3 last few years.
Right. But I like how you don't count that, even though it was spring hockey. It just wasn't spring hockey that your definition is, which is what?
Well, mine would be more competetive where you're playing for maybe it's a all-star team or something where the good part about spring hockey is you do get to play with different kids and families. The problem with spring hockey is
you play with different kids and different families.
Yeah, sometimes. But also, the competition. Sometimes you're in a tournament and you're playing the best team in the world, and then sometimes you're playing teams that aren't really that great. So it is sometimes hard to find a balanced schedule in spring hockey. But when you do, it's actually it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So you're both kids are on spring hockey teams right now?
No, this is probably the first year we're not doing anything.
Oh, you're not doing it this year.
We're not doing any spring hockey.
We're not doing anything either. We didn't even do the 3-on-3s. We didn't do anything like that.
Yeah, we didn't do it. We didn't do that this year either. Barrett's team, they've been playing late into the spring the last few years.
You're bragging a bit.
Austin's team, we played until the end of March too. So, And then just do other sports and stuff, which is more fun.
Yeah. We got ball hockey. I see a ball hockey.
And ball hockey. Yeah.
Ball hockey. And now kickboxing, right? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, the boys are doing kickboxing. They seem pretty into it the other night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they do. They seem to really like it. Both of them yesterday could hardly raise their arms, though.
Yes. Yeah. We have a couple sore kids over here, too. But yeah.
Good.
I think they like it.
Good. Well, listen, spring hockey, speaking of... usually takes place in like Scotia Pond or Chestwood or Westwood, one of those arenas.
Yes, Westwood.
Is that where you end up in the spring hockey leagues?
Also, the Canland rinks Canland, Etobicoke, Canland, Scarborough, Canland, York. Like those are the rinks that really they have a lot of spring hockey.
Because the rest of the rinks, the Ted Reeves of the world, the Scarborough Garden, they all are city rinks and they close down. Is that right?
Yes, they usually take the ice out. They take the ice out of those rinks. Yeah,
where the private companies leave the ice in because go right through. They're never taking the ice out. Do you think they have to change the? Is it like hot tub water? You got to change it every so often, or is it just ice?
I don't know. We should maybe get like next season. We should maybe get I don't know, like the arena crew in someone from that, like who's in charge of that.
Right.
Cause, I would be sort of interested to see if it's just keep flooding that same.
Right. Rink. Like, is there really old ice on there that like your dad skated on if it was an old rink, you know?
Yeah. Like history. Some of those old barns, like you got to think those Chestwood arenas, they've never taken the ice out.
Yeah, well, that's my question. Do they take the ice out and start again? And be like, oh, it's the season, fresh ice season.
Maybe it's a weekend or something. Maybe with the four patters, you could do like, okay, rink two is closed for the week because we're refreshing it. Now it's rink three, rink four, rink one or something.
Right. Yeah. So we'll have to find that out. I don't know the answer. If anyone knows that answer, let us know because I have no clue.
Yeah.
But obviously the city ones do it because it's a cost-cutting measure. They just don't want to run it in the summer.
Yeah.
The rinks.
Yeah.
But the private companies, I wonder if they do. So Canland, and do you know there's another private company in the G area, like in our Greater Toronto area, called Buckingham Sports. You ever heard of it?
No, never heard of Buckingham.
You never notice the sign when you're walking into Chestwood or Westwood or Scotia Pond?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, throughout the season, we've sort of stumbled into this who is sort of thing I do sometimes and do a little research.
Very informative.
Canland at the earlier part, if you remember.
Yes, I do.
So today we're going to end the season with who is Buckingham Sports? So I've always wondered who they are because I see their logo at Chestwood, Westwood, Scotia Pond. And so a little company background. Here's a little company background. Buckingham Sports Properties Company is wholly owned indirect subsidiary of the InterTech Group, Inc., based out of, get this, North Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, wow. Love it.
Yeah. So our famous rinks, Pond.
Yeah.
Chestwood are owned by a company that does a whole lot of things. I'm going to talk about them in a minute in South Carolina. It's one of the largest operators of arenas in Canada. The company owns and operates the three GTA rinks, which I told you, Scotia Pond, Chestwood, Westwood, as well as the Cambridge Sports Park, which also has baseball diamonds and other things.
Yeah,
the London Sports Park, same thing, large facilities, and the Pierrefonds Sportplex in Quebec. So they So in Ontario and Quebec, their motto is they strive to be the leader in recreational sports industry by providing a healthy and welcoming environment for recreational and competitive needs. In quotes, hockey is our business. With ice rinks, restaurants, snack bars, and pro shops, we provide a dynamic and full-service sports experience. So that's a little bit about Buckingham Sports, but let's talk a little bit about InterTech. So InterTech owns Buckingham Sports. They're from South Carolina. And I was like, what? Like what? Like how did this happen? Yeah. What is this? Right? And you can go to their website and it's like a very rudimentary website. Yeah. Anyway, it's a company. Their entrepreneurial corporate philosophy promotes investment in diverse business segments worldwide, each of which contribute to the overall success. So it's basically an umbrella of companies. Their approach to business includes a focus of the three P's. Do you know what the three P's are?
Passion.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
No, well, you're wrong with passion. It's people, number one. People.
Okay.
Profits, number two.
Profits should probably be number one with those prices at those ranks.
And the Planet is number three. So,
oh, okay.
Their vision is to invest in a diverse group, like I told you. So it was founded by Jerry Zucker. His fundamental belief that honesty, integrity, respect, and fairness in every relationship will enable us to honorably continue our long legacy of success. Their key to success is Mr. Zucker's philosophy around having a sense of urgency, lead by example, strive for innovation, value customer service. Ask yourself, are my actions today increasing revenues or reducing costs? That's the question you should always ask when you're in business.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, so Mr. Zucker made a habit of taking things apart and putting them back together, often improving their functional process. He believed in strong leadership and maintaining capital for growth. This formula for success has created the InterTech Group of today, a highly productive enterprise operating in the worldwide diverse business section. So they also are in aerospace, specialty chemicals, leisure and entertainment. That's where Buckingham Sports fits.
Yep.
Real estate, financial services, manufacturing, and investments. So real hodgepodge of things Mr. Jerry Zucker's doing. He's from Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. And he had a triple degree in chemistry, mathematics, and physics. And then he went on to be electrical engineering, get a degree in electrical engineering, working full time. He invested in and opened his own businesses, including a delicatessen, a record store, and a laundromat. Okay. And then he kind of put all this together to create InterTech out of Charleston, South Carolina. So that's a little bit of like a rabbit hole of Buckingham Sports, where it took me. Unfortunately, Jerry passed away in 2008 after a battle with cancer, but he owned over 300 patents and had successively completed billions of dollars in mergers, acquisitions, and public offering transactions. Today, the leadership of his family members and the outstanding InterTech team, Jerry Zucker's love of people and drive for excellence continues to guide the InterTech Group, the owner of Buckingham Sports, which is the owner of Scotia Pond, Westwood, and Chestwood, which means Jerry Zucker is the great man that brings you those tasty fries and gravy that you get at those arenas. And that is Buckingham Sports.
Now, I'm a little worried, though, because sometimes you get these big conglomerates and they only see dollar signs. I think that we need to make these three arenas heritage sites that cannot be taken down and our need to stay as arenas for all time, for great, great grandchildren to learn the game of hockey.
And I think they would agree if they can continue to make money on them every year.
That's the thing. I'm worried. Some developer's going to come in. We can't lose four patters.
Yeah, no, that's why we're never changing the ice. We can't shut down. Keep it open.
Yeah.
Let's go. Need it in here.
Keep churning it out. Get those summer skates going.
So that's what you got. You got Canlan and you got Buckingham Sports and you got the Toronto, the city of Toronto. Those are your three operators of rinks, it seems like.
Nice.
And I guess there's the odd private one in there. Hockey Factory, I think, is private.
Hockey Factory, that's the one that's in that strip mall, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
How rich would you have to be before you would say, okay, I'm going to build a rink. I'm going to own a rink. Or is it even on your I'm rich list to do?
It's definitely 100% on my rich list to do.
Okay, it's on your rich list to do.
Yeah, but I mean, how much? It's pretty expensive, I think, to buy a hockey rink, right?
Let's assume to get a hockey rink is like built, right? Like say you're going to buy one. Say you're going to buy you're going to buy one. I don't know. Let's assume it's $5 million.
Okay.
How much money would you have to have before you invested the $5 million into it? Would you need $100 million and you say, okay, I could put 5%
way less than that. Way
$40 million? You're putting five towards a hockey pad? Yeah,
$40 million. I'm easily putting $500 into a hockey pad.
$5 million.
And then I'll probably put another $5 million, and then I'll probably put another $5 million in fancying it up to make it look all awesome.
So you're spending 25% of your net on a new hockey rink?
Yes. Okay. That's why I could never be super rich.
Maybe.
I make poor business decisions. I'm not InterTech.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. InterTech. Well, with that being said, for episode 44, the last time we're doing, why don't we jump into the standings, where we sit. And I know we're going to bring Mr. Stoff in here.
Yeah, we should bring Stoffman off the hop because AAAs are all – we're all done in everything. Everything's wrapped up, all the Ontario championships, all the GTHL championships. So I think where we left off, we had a couple of AAAs to do.
Yes. We had two matchups left, and as luck would have it, Puffy, you were leading 13-10. And as we always do in this round, the matchups are now worth 2 points each.
Oh, wow. Of course.
So it really did come down to the nitty and the gritty. Okay. We'll start in the U11 AAA.
Okay.
We had JRC versus the Young Nats. Now, a common theme throughout these playoffs here is GCAT rolling with JRC, and he did so there. And I am happy to report that JRC did beat the Young Nats for the title there. So that brings our total to 13-12, meaning it's all on the line for this last one, which was the
JRC. It stands for just the right circumstances for Grant.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Beautiful, dude. I'm sure they'll put that up on their walls at the arena.
Inspirational quote.
It all comes down to the U10 AAA. We had, again, JRC versus the Vaughn Kings. Now, I know tradition is tradition, but I could have told you, my Vaughn Kings, as a lifelong fan, they were going to get things done. And they did. Handing Puffy the crown. He is our winner, 15-12.
15-12.
A score that will go down for the ages.
Very close.
Very close. All right, well, congratulations. Thank you, Stoff.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Puffy, for winning.
Yes, Puff.
Yeah.
I would... if I had won, to be honest, it would have been total luck. You had strategy in your choices.
I did have a little bit of inside knowledge on a few of these series.
Yeah. So the 15-12 ratio, though, is like insight to luck is maybe the other way I would look at it, too.
That's true.
Fair enough.
That was the difference. Yeah. I think next year we gotta do all the single A's. That way you'll have
betting on single A's.
Yeah, we'll bet on the single A's. You'll have an inside track on that.
Right. Understood. Okay. Well, stop.
I fear where this may go.
What's that?
I fear where this may go or what it will lead to.
Just turns into a betting podcast.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been my dream to bet on children's hockey stuff.
The path has been leading us here. We just never knew when it was going to get there.
Yeah. Inevitable.
So... anyway, all right. Well, and I think we've never really calculated the winning item
or the losing or the
losing item.
We
threw some stuff
How
around.
How convenient.
Yeah.
Yes.
But listen, I'm bringing it up as the loser.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think there needs to be some kind of polar dip into Lake Ontario.
Okay. So that's
Ontario. Puffy pushes you in, or maybe an ice bath or something. You got to get cold.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we are. All right. Well, let's see. I'll bring some stuff with me to the county next week. And we'll see if we can make it happen.
Awesome.
I don't know. We might have a busy agenda. We may have to do it the next round.
I look forward to seeing you, gentlemen.
In July.
All right. Well, congrats on your Vaughn Kings, too, Stoff. I know you've been a lifelong fan of theirs.
Yes.
Yeah, we've been partying here all week.
Mm-hmm.
So my voice is a little coarse. Oh, yeah.
Right on.
Big winners.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thank you.
So, GCAT. So, a lot of the leagues had already wrapped up last week or whatever. We'd finished off those. So, I'll go through the ones that were still needing to be completed.
You!
10.
As we talked about, the 10 AAA came down to the Vaughn Kings. They were 2 points to none behind the fourth-seeded JRC, and the Kings finished just 1 point behind the Toronto Marlboros in the regular season standings, but they got revenge in the playoffs, knocking off the Marlboros in two straight to take in the semis before taking down JRC in the final to take the crown. U10 single A, the dream run for North Toronto finally struck midnight. After finishing eighth in the regular season standings, North Toronto rolled through the East to make it to the city final, but ran into an equally hot team in the West champions, Humber Valley Sharks, who took the city championship 5-1, winning the deciding game 5-3. Congrats to both teams on a tremendous finish to the season. U11 AA, the city final went down to the wire. After the West champs Mississauga Beast won game 1-3-2, and the East champs the East Enders responded with a 4-0 win to force a 3 a third and deciding game, which the Beast took 5-2. Great fight between the top two teams in the loop. The Beast finished the season as the fourth ranked team in all of Ontario. The Ticats finished 10th. U10 Single A City Final saw the Leaside Flames bring home the city title for the East after beating the Toronto Wolverines in two straight games. Leaside were the class of the Single A age group in the G all season and deserving champions, but great job by the Wolverines to make it to the City Final after winning the very competitive West playoffs as a fourth seed. U12 Double A, because U12 Triple A had already been finished. The City Final was a very competitive series. The number one ranked in Ontario, Faustina Toros, took home the title, but not before getting a scare from the East champs, Scarborough Young Bruins, who pushed the series to three games before running out of steam. Congrats to the Toros on their number one ranking in Ontario, and they should be a force again next season.
Did the Young Bruins and the Ice Raiders play out of the same arena?
No. Young Bruins have been out of Malvern the last few years.
Okay.
And the Ice Raiders are always Don Montgomery.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, Don Montgomery is one of my favorite rinks now. I love that barn.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
Just small change rooms.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Small change rooms that sort of smell like urine.
Well, a lot of times also something else.
Yeah.
If you're there for practice, I don't know why the staff don't to have a little smoke. Like,
It does have that sense.
Sometimes it's like, Jesus.
That one hallway. Yeah. I don't know if you ever go to that hallway. When you walk in, you go your left versus right into the rinks. That hallway always has a little.
Oh, well, we practice there at 4:30 on Mondays. And sometimes you come in and like the rink fest, it's like they had a party in there.
Right.
It's like, what the heck, guys?
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Don Montgomery.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Good barn though. Love good that barn.
All right.
U12 Single A City Final went to distance with the West champs, the Avalanche, overcoming a game one loss to battle back to take the series 5-3 over the East champs, the North York Knights. The deciding game was a 3-2 Avs win. You can't get any closer than that. U13 AAA, the regular season and playoff champion JRC, played in the OHF championships last weekend and rolled to a 6-0 round robin record and a semifinal win over the Quinte Red Devils. However, waiting for them in the final were the tournament hosts, the Vaughan Kings, who finally got the better of JRC when it mattered most and took home the OHF title with a 3-1 win at Westwood last Sunday night. So congrats to Stoff and the Vaughan Kings, because that JRC team won everything this year, and unfortunately for them, they came up a little short in the last game, but another G team won, so that's great. It wasn't
just the right circumstances.
No.
No. Well, that works both ways.
Yes, it works both ways. U13 AA, the Vaughan Rangers made it all the way to the OHF final after beating the number one ranked team in Ontario, King Rebellion, in the semis 5-3. But the hosts, the Timmins North Stars, were too much in the end, as the third ranked team in Ontario took home the title, beating the Rangers 5-0 in the final. Still a tremendous accomplishment for the Vaughan Rangers. U14 AAA, the OHL Cup in Kingston ended up an all-GTHL final with the Markham Majors, proving once again that they are the best team in Ontario as they beat the Mississauga Senators 2-1 in the final. The Sens did give the Majors a scare, scoring early in the third to lead 1-0, but the Majors used a power play goal to even things up before scoring the winner with just under 3 minutes to play. U14 AA and Single A are all done, so let's go to U15 AAA. And the Don Mills Flyers showed once again why they are the best 2009 team in Ontario and beyond with a dominant performance at the OHFs last weekend in Ottawa. The Flyers went a perfect 8-0, beating the Ottawa Myers Automotive. I always think that team always sounds like it's like a house league team.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound any different than Honey Ham or Little.
Yeah, season. Honey Baked. Yeah, I guess it doesn't. But the Automotive to me just feels like it's like some dude's place.
Well, you know, it is, like, I'm sure, isn't it?
Well, it's got to be a big because they. I think that's what one of the organizations, like, it's a AAA organization. Like, right. You know, Little Caesars, it's like a major company. Right. Honey Baked. I don't know what Honey Baked is, but.
Isn't it ham?
Maybe it's Honey Baked Ham.
Like,
maybe.
I feel like they're like, hey, let's sponsor the team, but let's ditch the ham.
Yeah, let's maybe that's it. Baked.
Yeah.
But like.
Like, give me another sentence where you're like something, something Honey Baked and you don't say the word ham after it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's probably right. Honey Baked Ham. Unless I just probably say Honey Baked Hockey Club.
right.
But yeah, the Ottawa, what is it? What's it again? I got to find it here.
Someone, Terry's Automotive.
Ottawa Myers Automotive.
Myers.
But they're good because you hear about them all the time. Like they always have good AAA teams in Ottawa, and that's usually the organization that's the top one.
Yeah, my buddy Tim, his kids are in AAA out in Ottawa, and I know it seems fiercely competitive out there. Yeah,
it's a good loop. It's a good loop.
Yeah, it seems like it.
So Flyers beat Ottawa Myers Automotive 2-1 in the championship game. Early third period goals by Tyler Lee and Richard Wang secured the comeback win and title for the Flyers. So congratulations to Coach Jamie Edwards and his Flyers crew. That's a huge accomplishment. They'll definitely be nice. In the running to win the OHL Cup next year in their U16 season.
Yeah, I saw that all in their socials. It seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, that's like, you know, it's a major accomplishment. This group's been they've been together for a while, so good for them.
Yeah.
U15 AA OHFs were in Oakville last weekend, and the GTHL champion Vaughan Panthers kept the good times rolling with a near perfect run to win the OHF title with just one tie along the way. In the final, they faced the 21st ranked Sioux Greyhounds, and after falling behind 3-2, late third period goal by Mario Aletti forced overtime, and then Luca Testoni won it for the second ranked Panthers. So congratulations to them. That's a huge accomplishment.
U16.
And then the last group that wrapped up their season was U16 Single A. The city final was a back and forth series with both teams winning two games apiece before tying game 5-3-3 last Friday. In the sixth and deciding game, it was the West champs, the Toronto Eagles, coming out on top with a 2-0 win over the East champs, the Markham Islanders.
Wow.
Congrats to both teams. That was a very hard fought series.
That was Single A, you said?
Single A, U16, yeah.
U16 Single A. They don't go into game five. They don't go into overtime, eh? They're going to like.
Game five, they tied and they played a game six. That's usually how they do it for whatever reason in those six.
Now, what if they tied game six?
Then it would have went to overtime.
Game six is the max.
Game six is the max, yeah.
That's doing ties until one wins.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they would have played overtime if it was, if it had gone there. So the final calculation for city finals for the 23-24 season, West versus East, there were 14 in the ones we were following from U10 to U16. How many do you think the West won?
9.
12.
12. Wow.
12 of the 14. Yeah, so wow. It was a very dominant West season. So yeah. I know there's always a lot of talk where people say, oh, the West is so much better. In this particular season, there's at least at the
top. Why do you think that is?
I don't know for sure. Maybe they have more kids.
Now, is the West includes – can you riddle off the teams that are in the West?
Well, I mean, this is just single and double A, right?
Single and double A, yeah. But, like, it's like a lot of Vaughn, I feel like.
Well, Vaughn has the Rangers and the Panthers.
And the Panthers are on the triple A. No.
No, Kings are triple A.
Panthers are West.
Yep.
And the Rangers.
Rangers are West. Are West.
They're West as well.
Yes. But there is a
East Rangers.
There is, yeah, I think at Aussie's age.
Yeah, we have a Vaughn East Rangers.
And maybe at U14 too. They do it at a few of the older ages. I think that's to bring some of the talent over to the East.
Right. And then they got the Eagles over there. They got the Wolverines. They got the Mississaugas. They got the Mississaugas.
More Stars, Rattlers.
Humber Valley.
Humber Valley. Yeah, there's a lot of Toros.
Well, Mississauga's huge, right?
Yeah, it's
Mississauga's like the third or fourth largest city in Canada, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think that's part of the reason there's just a lot of hockey players.
Saga represents is what it is. So Basically, Saga is a huge swing vote in the Greater Toronto Hockey League.
Yes.
Right? How did we let this happen? How did we let?
I don't know. We need to start looking at the local elementary schools and the kindergartens.
We got to gerrymander the regions here and bring some West over.
Yeah, we got to get some find the young athletes in the playground and start getting them in East York hockey.
Okay, we're on it. Well, yeah. Actually, I was about to say wouldn't be past me to hear you at a park talking to young kids, telling them to join hockey.
I certainly would do that in the
I think that's how I'm here, actually. But yeah, I recall like 10 years ago, I'm like, I don't know about hockey. I don't know if we're going to do
it. I got the boys in hockey.
Yeah, you were actually a huge influence, you and Tanya. Yeah. You got to keep doing it. You got to keep going.
Yeah. It gets a little creepier though when you don't have a child in the playground to be hanging around.
And you don't know anyone there.
Yeah. Don't know anyone there.
You're just promoting the sport.
Yeah, just promoting the sport at the grassroots level.
Oh, yeah. Well, someone needs to do it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, great. That's it. The G is officially closed. We're tryouts.
Yes. Tryouts are started. We have Austin's team's tryouts this Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a U13 AA goalie, we could use one. We are looking.
You're looking for a U13 AA goalie because you have to have two.
You have to have two, I believe, this year.
Can you just have one and then just say this dude plays goalie if we ever need it? Or do you have to have a dressed goalie every game?
I think I don't know. You don't have to have a dress goalie every game because there's certainly been times when we've had a goalie sick.
Right.
And we've just had the one goalie there.
Right.
Or if a goalie gets injured, you're not expected to have a third, but I think you have to roster two. But
could you? Yeah. Okay. So if you don't get a goalie, what happens?
I don't know.
It doesn't show up. Doesn't work
out. I don't know.
What do you do?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
someone on your team a goalie, like quasi goalie,
for a game,
need one, you call up because you can call up a goalie, can't you?
Yeah, you can call up, and we've done it in the past because we've only with Austin's team, we've only had one goalie since U12,
and so
you've been getting away with it. U11, yeah, because U10 we had two, but U11 and U12 we've only had one, and we called up the younger team's goalie, and they did quite well for us. So you
could just do that again, no?
Maybe, but we ideally would like to have two goalies.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you're out there,
if you're listening out on the internet, if someone's listening,
know someone,
double A goalie.
Yeah. They can also be a triple A goalie that wants to play double A. We're not against that.
Right.
Or a single A goalie who's looking to shine.
Right. Yeah. So you have tryouts. When are those tryouts for your
Saturday and Sunday? I think Commander.
Oh, yeah. That one's way up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a heck of a name, too. I wonder why it's called Commander. Always felt very military-ish.
Yeah. The only Commander I know of is Commander Tom.
Right. Okay. Well, Commander, good luck. And Barrett's team done tryouts or no?
No, they have tryouts, I think, Monday, Tuesday.
They're Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, we're... We're not, we're the following week.
Yeah.
May like 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. About 4 nights in a row, I think. There's 3 nights in a row.
Oh, the weekend? That's not good.
No, not a weekend. It's like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe even Thursday or something. Because I was booking a dinner. I saw it and I was like, oh, there's like 4 nights in a row here.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of tryouts.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. But that's what's in my calendar right now. Let's just go with that. All right, Puff. Well, so we've said it all. Episode 44. The season's over. It's been a great season. Anything you want to reflect on as we come into the end of the you and I, conversation pod? Anything else about season one you want to talk about? Anything you want to like think about for season two? Feedback you want from people? Anything you want to chat about the pod?
Well, it'd be ideal if people sent us stuff on the socials and things that they've liked and disliked. It's always good to get good feedback on it, because sometimes you think something's working and it's maybe not. And then there's stuff that people are more interested in that we wouldn't even think about doing. So, but yeah, no, I think it sort of feels like it's evolved a little bit as the year's gone on, from what maybe we originally thought it would be. And, but it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, it's been good. I've also enjoyed doing it. Yeah, and I'm actually like bittersweet to have the break, you know. But I know there's not much to talk about, actually.
Like, yeah, that's a problem.
What are we talking about? So the break is nice. I think I'll enjoy the break, but I am already looking forward to, like, when will we start again? September?
Yeah, like,
or do you start in August? Are we starting last week of August? Like, are we doing preseason? Are we doing Dunedin styles here?
Dunedin styles. We could probably maybe do one late August. Maybe we could start bringing it back or starting looking ahead. But usually the tournaments, early birds and stuff don't start till,
mid-September. And we got to do some workshopping and brainstorming on a guest list again for next year on who we want to try to get.
Yes. And I would like to get Oak Dog for one of our
early episodes. We need to get at least someone from the G, right? We're doing a whole podcast about your business.
Yeah.
It'd be great to have someone on talking about it.
And a pretty positive look at your business.
Very positive. Yeah. We've spent thousands.
Yeah. I think we should also the arena. I think an arena person would be good.
I'd like to learn about ice.
Yeah.
More coaches. I think the coaches have been good. I'm really enjoying listening to the coaches talk, especially from the different, you know, we had Jamie Edwards, like AAA, we had, you know, Ty single A, you know, players and coaches, I think would be good. I would love to know. I think one of the things next year, now that we've done this and I'm a little bit more familiar, is like, you know, this U16 AAA kids, they're going into their draft year. It'd be great to try to talk to a couple of them up front early on, like, and just talk, because this is a pivotal year for those kids that are taking serious hockey. Like, this is something, this is real for them. There's opportunity for them.
For sure.
It'd be really interesting to talk to them. But, you know, we're not all just about elite, but it would be great to talk to someone who's going into that mindset well before they go into it, just to kind of what's going on in that.
Get their feelings. And then also maybe even check back in with them as the season's going on.
That's right.
Kind of cool to do that.
And then it'd be great to get a couple big names. So we'll play with your TSN contacts there, because there's 44 GTHL alumni in the playoffs right now. We got to be able to get alumni.
T-Dub's also, she has some contacts in that world.
Right. Yeah. I was at, when we were out last week with your family, you weren't there, you were working, but Thomas Caberlet was at the thing doing autographs and he's a GTHL coach, isn't he?
I think he is. I think he is. And Tanya knows him well.
Oh yeah. So yeah, it'd be good to get a couple. Yeah. So anyway, the guests were good, but I'm looking forward to it. So season two coming up, and I guess, are we going to start at season two, episode one, or are we going to go season two, episode 46? So we start with the numbers.
I think maybe,
I don't know. I've been thinking about it, because I,
that's what we got to do in our summer retreat.
Yeah. We have to have our annual meeting.
Annual meetings.
Yeah, we have to write off a dinner somehow. But we make no income, so I don't know what we're writing it off against. The losses.
Future earnings.
What are the capital gains of this thing? Nothing. Nothing. The government owes you money for not doing anything here. Okay, great. Well, listen, it's been a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. But one thing also that I'd like to wrap up with is we do these songs. We always pick our song of the week. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, Callie from our team has put together a playlist for us on Spotify of all the songs from all the guests from the whole season. It's 4 hours of music. So you can find that playlist on Spotify under To The Rink podcast. Thank you, Callie, again, for putting that together. I've got to figure out a way, and maybe Stoff knows how to do this. I'll ask him after. Move it from Spotify to Apple. Is there a way to do that? Because I think we actually have more Apple listeners than we do Spotify listeners based on the metrics we have. So that would be good. But also a very detailed Excel Google sheet of it all organized in the song, who's it by, what episode we did it, who requested it. Great little. So it's now my responsibility, I think, to carry this on. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so it'd be great every season, assuming we do a couple more.
Yeah.
We have a playlist, a constantly building playlist. So
yeah,
you can check that out on Spotify.
And it's good for us to know if we've already requested a song.
Yeah, well, there's a couple that have been duplicates, but that's only because our guest says something that
we yes. say.
Right. Yeah. Like Thunderstruck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that will be constantly be a
yeah.
A duplicate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that, Puff, song of the week. Your last, well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe we'll do one more, but almost last song of the season. What is it? What's your song this week?
I'm almost surprised that I haven't given this one because it's one of my favorite songs and it's definitely a hockey song, and it's Big League by Tom Cochran.
Oh yeah,
it's just like a perfect song for Canadiana. I remember when the Humboldt bus crash happened, and James Duthie reached out to Tom about re-recording it for the families, and he changed some of the lyrics, and it was super impactful for the families, how much they appreciated it in a time of great tragedy for them. And it always hits, but after that moment, it really, like, the lyrics and everything, it was a powerful song. It's just a great hockey song.
Yeah, I didn't know that story. That's a great story and a great song on top of it. And my Tom Cochran story is I saw him open up for Bruce Springsteen. And, you know, you obviously...
Really?
Yeah, in Moncton at the Magnetic Hill, which is a whole other episode, like the scam of the Magnetic Hill, it's called. But regardless of that, they opened up with the Trues. So it was the Trues, Tom Cochran, Bruce Springsteen.
Great show.
Tom Cochran crushed it. And I remember coming home and being like, oh, how was Bruce Springsteen? I'm like, Bruce Springsteen crushed it. Like, big Bruce Springsteen fan. But I was like, Tom Cochran came out and owned the stage for, like, you know, a good hour before the show. And it's amazing how many hits he has, like, from the Red Rider days when he was, and then when Tom Cochran days. And yeah, he has a lot of great songs. So big Tom Cochran fan. So good choice. Good choice. I like it.
I saw him, I saw a Rascal Flatts concert, and they re-recorded his Life of the Highway song.
Yeah.
And for that Cars movie, and he came out when they were playing it, and I've never seen someone look happier. And it's probably because the amount of money he made on that.
He's making Buckingham Sports cash on that.
Yeah, like there. He was, like, he looked so happy coming out, but he was great.
Yeah, that's cool when they do that. That was like, what was the other one? Oh, 5440. They had that song "I Go Blind," and Hootie and the Blowfish did it.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh man, I just, you know, my whole career
cash and checks.
Equals these guys doing it once, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's good. All right, cool. Well, my song is also one that I'm surprised I haven't picked because it's one of my favorite songs of all time. Also a Canadian group, which is the Arcade Fire, nice. Who I love. I'm a huge Arcade Fire fan. And their song, Wake Up, from the Funeral album is, I don't know what it is about that song. What is the chanting, the, like, you know, that they have, like, the, like, and it just, like, I've seen it in concert, like, you know, maybe 5 or 6 times at this point, and it gets me every time. It's such a great song. Definitely one of, like, my favorite songs of all time. So, as an ode to one of our last episodes here, Wake Up by Arcade Fire.
Awesome.
Yeah. Great tune. All right. With that, anything else you want to wrap up with, Puff, or are you good?
No, just good luck to everyone in their spring hockey seasons. You know, don't take it too serious. It's only spring hockey. No one's just try to stay healthy and have fun, meet some new people, and then get out and do other sports. Don't just play hockey all summer.
Yeah, good advice. And well, with that, thanks again, everyone, for listening to the Rink Podcast. We truly appreciate it. We'll keep posting throughout the summer on Instagram and on, I guess, really Instagram is really it, but you can continue to share and listen and tell your friends and rate and go back to old episodes through Spotify and through Apple and all the other places where you can listen to us. You know, send us notes, let us know what you think about season 2. Also, make sure you always use To The Rink Podcast coupon code when you're buying BioSteel. Again, seeing them, there it is right there, seeing them everywhere. I know they just switched out of the NHL deal, actually.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that, so that's Body Armor now. But I think BioSteel, if you follow Dan Crosby on LinkedIn, he has these great perspectives about it, and he talks about it. He's really an open book. He's an interesting cat to listen to and watch and, you know, see his posts about it. and how he took it as a huge learning opportunity. And, you know, obviously having come from that world, it also frees up a whole lot of resources that can be used elsewhere. So I'm sure that is part of their plan. So yeah, to the rink coupon code with BioSteel. Stoff, thanks so much for running this through again. Great season. And everyone have a great summer. We got one more episode coming, and thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.